to the Bruce Siski Show. Interact with the show on social media. Tell us what you think and learn about upcoming guests. Follow Bruce Siski Show on Twitter.
That's my bad. I was sending a tweet.
Visit KDAL610.com to stream the show or catch it on the 610 KDAL mobile app. Free from iTunes, Google Play, or wherever you get your apps.
And the truth shall set you free.
Thanks for listening to the Bruce Siski Show on 610 and FM 103.9 KDAL.
10:13. It's a Friday morning. It is September 23rd, 2022. Bruce Siski Show on KDAL. Great to have you with us. Going to jump right in here. We are at NCHC Media Day yesterday in St. Paul, part of the task. You heard the live conversations. If not, podcast those at KDAL610.com with UMD captain Tanner Latterroot, North Dakota captain Mark Senden, Denver captain Justin Lee, and then Kevin Fallness of the Wild Radio Network. Those are all on the podcast page now, but we also were down there to record interviews with each of the seven NCHC coaches not named Scott Sandelin. You heard that earlier this week. We have the other seven in the can, as they say. We'll play a couple of those for you this morning, starting right now with the second-year head coach at Western Michigan. Here's Pat Furschweiler.
How's your summer, first off? Anything cool?
We dropped my oldest daughter off at college this year. She's at Colorado State. It was an interesting day. My wife was full of sadness, and I was full of excitement for her opportunity, and she's loving life out there.
Fort Collins is lovely. That's where I stayed. We went to Loveland for that regional. I stayed in Fort Collins. Oh, my goodness, was it nice.
Man, you can say that all day long. I was wondering why she chose to go out there, and then I got there, and I completely understood. It was real nice.
I joke with one of the coaches out there a couple of years ago. I said, your recruiting video is just flying into Colorado, right? Right. You don't need to put anything else in there.
What a special little city that is.
It is really
right?
Nice. Yeah.
Really nice downtown.
Yep.
Real nice restaurants on the other side. And then the college, the university had a great feel as well.
Yeah. Last season, making some history at Western Michigan, though, that had to be pretty cool for you guys.
It was really cool. And it was such a great group of kids to work with. It was a group that, one, cared about each other. And then, two, they loved coming to the rink. And you say, well, they loved hockey. And you say, well, everybody loves hockey. No, they don't. A lot of people play because they're good at it. This group is a group of kids that love the process of getting better at hockey. They love coming to the rink. They love working. And they really enjoyed each other. And it was just a special, special thing to see them succeed at the level they succeeded at.
I know you wanted to get another step, but when that winning goal goes in that regional game against Northeastern, what's going through your mind?
It was great. I was excited for them. Honestly, I thought we played a real good game to that point. Their goalie is spectacular.
Yeah.
Right? 950 for the season, and he's coming back this year. We play him again this year. I think he's going to let in three goals all year. I don't even know. Like, he looks great. Devin Levi's a great player. But just pride and happy for the kids who have worked so hard and moved forward. And actually, I thought we played a solid game against the Gophers as well. We weren't able to – we did score the one goal that was called back on the offside. I felt Ronnie Adder skated by the bench after they scored. He had scored the goal, and he looked at me, and he says, "We got this, coach." And just the calm that kid brought to our team and the ability to really, perform high and at a high level in the biggest moments – I was feeling good until we got that call in our ear from our video guy said, this one might be offsides.
Yeah,
it was a tough call.
That's tough. Talking to Western Michigan coach Pat Furschweiler. The weekend before, you're in St. Paul in this building here at Xcel Energy Center. And we played Denver in the first game. And my son and his girlfriend were down, and a couple of friends. So I went down to where they were sitting, and there were some openings, and I just wanted to take in some of the game because, when North Dakota's playing in this building, it's usually a pretty good atmosphere.
Great one.
And so I get down there in the warm-up, and the first thing I notice is right across the rink from us, there's all these Western people right on the glass. And I'm like, that is awesome. So I messaged Adam Bonder, who was the SID for Western Michigan last season. He moved on to football now. But I said, wow, how'd you get them all here? It's like, they did a whole thing. That's awesome. How cool was that to see? And they were making noise. They were not quiet.
No, as you well know, we have great fans. And the ones that are anywhere are loud and enthusiastic and are hugely supportive of us. But honestly, it was Dan Bartholomew, our new athletic director, had never been around hockey before. And he just, he paid for this. He said, any student that can make it there, we'll buy your ticket. And you know what? They took him up on it, and it was great. It was great to have that support here. Obviously, they bring life to our players.
So you do lose a lot. There's no doubt about that. And instead of trying to go through all the guys that you lost, because there was a lot of them, they leave, what do they leave behind? There's a culture here that you guys have built over the years that these players have helped manifest, and now they pass it on to the young guys that are left. But how special a group was that? You already mentioned that, but what they leave behind, it's pretty cool.
It's great, and we have, you know, players in place to continue that. We, you know, Jason Poland, the leadership, you know, under Ronnie Adderd and Josh Basald and Ethan Frank that he learned last year, he's just plugged right into his, you know, being this year. And we just have a method and a way of approaching things that is calm. We empower the players. And then they just, like I said, they're the group of guys that just love to work. We have them again this year.
Jason Poland, tell me about him just from a playing standpoint as well as what you expect from a leadership standpoint from him.
Well, from a playing standpoint, he's our most professional player. When I say that, it's, you know, when I was with the Red Wings and we had Hank and Pav and Nick Cronwell were our best players every day, and they did everything right every time. It's almost shocking their repeatability. And Jason's very similar to that at the NCAA level. He just does it right. Kid just is a He's a great hockey player in so many ways that people don't see. And he still had 16 goals last year, so he can play too. You know, he can play with the offensive side of the puck as well. And so I think he's a super intelligent player. He's got a real good stick. He can score, but he also does everything else great.
Cole Gallant, you know, another guy that I feel like I've been watching him play for 6 years, and I know it hasn't been that long, but it feels that way. Maybe it's because he's everywhere on the ice.
No, Cole's a real good player, and he's got real creativity on the offensive side of the puck. He was a great complimentary player on that line with Warad and Frank last year, and you know, we've kind of challenged him. If you're going to come back for your fifth year, you're going to have to be in charge of being a driver of a line. And boy, he looks like he's stronger, he's faster, he looks like he's had a great summer. He's been performing at a high, high level in practice, so we're expecting a lot from Cole this year.
When you lose a guy like Ethan Frank, who scored 26 goals last season, I don't think I'd remind anybody of that because he scored like 50 of them against UMD, it felt like. You know, when you lose a guy like that, do you have to caution players? You don't need to be Ethan Frank. You need to be an even better version of yourself.
You know, it was an interesting thing in that we went to the regional and it was after the Northeastern game, and I was just sitting around having some laughs with the players, and it was Ethan, it was Warad, and it was Cole Gallant, and we're talking about, you know, what line they're on, and they were our fourth line 2 years before that. Those three
right.
were exactly our fourth line 2 years before that. They behind players like Wade Allison and Hugh McGing, and you know, a pretty good line. That was maybe one of our best teams in Western history the year that COVID, you know, stop the season, but it just shows that they were willing to improve every day and willing to work every day. And you know, Ethan wasn't picked even preseason all NCHC last year, and then he leads the country in goals. You know, real tribute to his just willingness to get better and train and work and again, but enjoy the process as it goes.
You know, your power play was tremendous last season. You already mentioned some of the names that were responsible, and those guys are no longer with you. And Ronnie Adderd, Drew Warad, Ethan Frank. How do you go about constructing the power play? Is there some mix and match that you think you're going to have to do here in the early part of the season to figure out what works best?
Well, and 2 years ago, we had, you know, 30%+ power play.
Yeah.
And then last year, you know, I think we're in that 25 region. It was pretty easy to decide who was on the power play last year because all 10 returned.
Right.
Right? Hit repeat. And what is what we did. And so certainly this year, as we talk to the players, the philosophy and the attacking approach that we have in the power play all remains the same. But instead of just two units right now, we do have three. We're trying to figure out who is exactly, you know, the best at every spot. So there's a learning curve for sure with some new players. They do look good in practice, but, you know, that's practice. You know, when the lights turn on, it's different.
Is Max Sasson one of those guys, you think? It felt like from the time that we saw you earlier to the time we saw you a little later, there was a jump, and then we saw you again in the NCHC tournament. I noticed him again. It seemed like progressed really nicely as a freshman last year.
What a year he had, and you couldn't have described it better. It was just a progression upward of getting better every single day. And, you know, I see Max as kind of a future captain for the Broncos. He reminds me a lot of Jason Poland in his approach, his likability, you know, just his professionalism and the way he approaches it every day. So he's going to be a huge part of our team this year and a big part of the power play, hopefully.
You played 39 games last season, and after everything he had gone through the previous season, Brandon Bussey played every single one of those games. I know you lose him. He's gone. But what did it mean for you to see that after what he had gone through the year before?
Well, so happy for the young man, and he worked so hard to come back, and not to just come back, but to be great when he did come back. And so, you know, a growing injury, especially that severe growing injury for a goaltender, can put real doubt in your head. And so I believe confidence comes through work. And Brandon put in the work so that he could then believe and trust his body again to be the goaltender he was last year, which was obviously a great one.
The goalies you have played exactly 0 minutes for you last season. In fact, I messaged Adam, I think, at one point during the offseason, you have no goaltenders on your roster right now. Now you've got goaltenders. So Cameron Rowe comes in from Wisconsin.
Yeah.
What can he bring to your program?
You know, it's interesting because Cam Rowe is a starting goaltender on a big-time championship team his freshman year. So he brings experience that way of success. And then the next year, you know, he had a poor year. So he brings the experience of a lack of success. So hopefully Cam can learn from both those. What was I doing here? What didn't I do here? And come back to being the player I believe he is. He's always been a talented kid. He played in the National Development Program. So he's got real pedigree as far as being an elite goaltender. Now, Kirk Larson, who was at Miami last year, is I believe, underrated as well. He's a quality goaltender. He's really brought a stability back there. And, you know, in the last couple of years, our number twos didn't look anything like Brandon. Kirk looks a lot like Cameron. I think there's a goaltending, you know, we can go to our backup if we need to.
You know, as you look at these guys, how do you handicap things in fall practices and getting ready for a season when they never played in your program before? Are there things you're looking at in practice? Are you, Andy used to keep stats in practice with goaltenders.
He sure did. He kept stats on everything.
That's true.
You know, but what we do is we say to all our players, every practice is a tryout for ice time. In the game, we can only play 20, so we have a lot more than that, as everyone else does. So literally they are judge and watch, and we watch and talk about performance every single day after practice. Should he go up? Should he go down? Should he stay the same? Do we need to talk to him to be better? Do we need to pat him on the butt and say, great job, you know, keep doing this every single day? And we just, you know, engage with our players, and we're super honest. You know, I always tell our players, I have to be the most honest coach you'll ever have in your entire life. I think players want honesty. I think they thrive on it. Where do I stand and why? You know, Chad Hildebrandt's one of the best examples last year. He probably didn't play maybe the first 8 or maybe 10 games. And, you know, he'd come in and ask me why I wasn't playing. And I explained it to him in crystal clear terms. He changed the next day. And I said, but Chad, you can't do this for 1 or 2 or 3 days and look over and go, well, that's not how it works. Someone has to play themselves out of the lineup. Somebody may have to get hurt. He waited 2 more weeks, I guess. He's in the lineup. And then I said, Chad, now it's your job to keep. You got to keep doing those things every day. And I'll be, if he didn't have a great season as well for us, and now he's on one of our top lines playing fantastic hockey through working.
When you look at this group of players that you lose, you know, these guys that have all turned pro and they're going to have opportunities to have bright, bright futures in professional hockey, how much better has your program and these players gotten from playing in the NCHC week in and week out?
Well, I think it's immeasurable. And I think, one, our program is benefits from the success of the league. I think they all the programs in the league do. And kids do want to, and recruits do want to say that, I want to play in the NCHC. They know it's the best conference. I don't think it's in question. So they want the challenge of that. And we want players that want the challenge of that. We're going to play the best schedule every year. I think our strength schedule last year was either 2 or 3 in the country. That's a great year for us. Like, let's challenge ourselves. Let's take on everyone we can. There'll be some successes. There'll be some failures. But the lean in and enjoy the competition is what we do.
Finishing up with Western Michigan coach Pat Firshweiler. So we've seen here in the last couple of years some programs come in. St. Thomas started last year. You know, Lindenwood starting this year. Anchorage is back. Fairbanks is back. Stonehill starting up and moving to Division I. And, you know, Augustana starting a program in Sioux Falls next year. You're going to Anchorage next weekend. Is there, with the established programs in college hockey, do you think there's a responsibility to make sure that these new programs have opportunities to play games?
Absolutely. And I think that's one of the huge reasons why we're going up to Alaska their very first year back. And we're going there. We didn't make them come to us. You know, and some people, you have to go on the road as well and give these guys some home games as well. And, you know, Shazby up there is going to do a great job. I think they put a nice program together. They got some transfers in there. They're not going to start out like a brand new program. I think they have some veteran players in there. I think they're going to be a tough out.
And that's a long trip for your guys. Western used to go to Fairbanks all the time in the old CCHA, so it's nothing new. I'm sure you were up there a couple times in your day. This is a really good bonding opportunity for your group, isn't it?
I never fear being on the road early in the season. I agree with you 100%. And it was an interesting thing that, you know, they had called and we talked about playing the games. But I empower our players. So I went to our players and our captain said, do you guys want to go to Alaska? It's first year. They were like, absolutely, coach. We've never been to Alaska. This is going to be great. It's October. The weather will still be good. Like, they're pumped for the trip. And they can't wait to go. So great opportunity that way to see something new, but also to empower a new program to success.
Pat Firschweiler, head coach of Western Michigan. More to come, 1028 on KDAL.
Your Twin Ports home for Twins baseball.
In the corner, goal!
KDAL.
It's a Friday morning. Clouds moving on in here in the Twin Ports. Rain likely later on today and tonight. And into the weekend. Why not? Coming up, my conversation from yesterday at NCHC Media Day with the head coach at St. Cloud State, Duluth native Brett Larson, on the radio show after CBS News on KDAL.
Your Twin Ports home for Gopher football.
Zone touchdown, Golden Gophers.
KDAL.
10:37, let's get right into it here. Conversation I had yesterday at NCHC Media Day with the head coach at St. Cloud State, Brett Larson.
First off, how was your summer?
Quick. Yeah, it was
that
quick.
Seems universal.
Yeah, it went by fast. Obviously, out of the COVID protocols when we couldn't recruit and whatnot, back to real life again and hitting the road and being out there recruiting, but getting a little family time as well. And got up to Duluth over the 4th and over Labor Day to see family and stuff, so that was good too.
Well, what's it like getting back out, you know, kind of doing that normal recruiting thing again? And it's not just getting to see players in person, but a lot of these coaches that you get to see – you didn't get to see for a while.
No, that's part of it. That there, you know, even though we're all competing against each other, there is kind of a group of guys that you, it's almost like a family out there. You know, you're following each other around all over Iowa in June, and you're, you know at the Marriott in Sioux City, you're going to be seeing 10 guys that you enjoy hanging around with after the game. So there's a fun, familiar part of that, and certainly missed some of that during COVID.
We saw you guys, you know, a couple times in a row there at the end of the season, and you know, the series at your place, I remember getting there that Friday and I saw that David Rennick wasn't in the lineup. I'm like, well, that's kind of weird. So I was going around a little bit talking to some people upstairs, and well, I saw him in practice this week. He looked just fine. I'm like, well, there's something going on.
And, yeah.
I didn't know the extent or anything, and then we come to find out what we found out before the NCAA. What happened to him? Have you ever been through something like that with not any player, not just a goalie, but any player? It's just awful timing for something like that.
Yeah, and you got some bad info. They must have saw the other goalie out there because David was in the hospital for 6 days with pneumonia, and he wasn't cleared to play right up through the regional. The only way he could have played was an emergency basis. That's why we, to be honest, he just wanted to dress for that regional game. He just wanted to be on the bench. Yeah. And if the first goalie had gone down for any reason, I was going to have to go to two. David was only available on an emergency basis. So it was tough because he stayed for his fifth year, you know, and he had some big goals. And to see him go down like that at that time, it was really tough.
How difficult was that for your group? You know, again, he's a fifth-year guy. He's a popular teammate. I know how well-liked he was in that room.
Yep.
To see that happen, that has to affect it. It's not just you guys, it's not just him, it affects everybody.
It did, and again, not making any excuses. We, you know, I thought even in the Quinnipiac game we played very well, and it just didn't go our way, but it did have an effect. You know, we had gone through a little bit of a stretch where during the Olympic time, and then if, you know, people may not remember, but there were some COVID issues or some series got canceled, so we ended up going the whole second half of the year without a break, and we finally felt like we were getting out of that. You know, we actually felt like, you know, you never look at it this way at the time, but losing to you guys in that first round of playoffs, we thought major blessing in disguise in a way, because we get the extra week to get healthy. And that's when, you know, when kind of everything went south. So we did feel our team was healthier. Our team had a lot of energy out in the regional. But obviously losing David didn't just hurt us on the ice. It was in the room too. He was a big part of it.
Talking to St. Cloud State head coach Brett Larson. So, you know, looking at you lose a lot, obviously, and it's not just David. You know, Easton Brodzinski, Kevin Fitzgerald, and what those guys brought your program. And it's not just what they did on the ice, the goals that they scored, in some cases the goals that they helped prevent, obviously, but it's also the impact they made in your locker room and your culture.
Yeah, for sure. That, I guess the one positive thing about COVID is we get Spencer Meyer back, and Spencer's been one of the better captains I've been around, no question. I've been lucky to be around some great ones, and I put him right there up there with anybody. So having him back for the fifth year, that gives a coach some confidence that that the changeover that's going to happen and some of the other layers within the leadership group is going to go smoothly because we've got such a good leader at the top.
Are you and him basically sharing a brain at this point? I mean, it's got to be automatic for him. You don't have to say it at this point, right?
Yeah, it's been fun because ever since I've been a head coach, he's been on the team. You know, we've been in this going on 5 years together now, and he is just he's got a heartbeat of the team. The guys look up to him so much. He and I obviously communicate a lot and have a good relationship. So for me, like I said, with the young team this year, it's really nice to have a guy like that back.
You say a young team, but I looked at your roster. You're not that young. I mean, you've got some fifth-year guys, and that's got to mean a lot to you that you guys want to come back.
It does. I shouldn't say young, but with turnover.
You're younger.
Let's put it that way. Younger, right. We had a pretty old team last year. We've got 10 new faces in the locker room this year. You know, that's over a 30-year team. So that'll be interesting that way. But you're right. We've got Brendan Bushy back as well. We've got Micah Miller back as well. Those two guys have been a part of this thing for 4 years and have been really key parts of it too, not just on the rink but off the rink and in the locker room. So having those fifth-year guys, I think it's going to be a big help to bring that young group along.
You know, you mentioned Micah Miller, Grand Rapids kid, and still just an absolute pain in the neck when he's playing against your team because he's always going. I don't know how he does it. Constant energy, and last year had to feel good for you to see him contribute the way he did offensively.
It did a lot. And you know what? It felt good for him, too, because he's worked so hard. He always plays that way. You know, I think he led the nation in shorthanded goals. And a lot of that is just through hard work. You know, hard work, speed, getting the pucks first. It was fun to see him get some credit and some reward, too. Obviously, he takes the credit in helping the team win. But it's nice for a kid like that to score some goals, too.
You've been coaching a while now. And you know this. When you have a guy like Micah Miller and the way he impacts another team's power play, they have to think about that, don't they? When they're thinking power play versus St. Cloud, it's not, you know, we just go out there and do what we do. We got to figure out where Micah Miller is and make sure he doesn't burn us.
I agree. He's a huge part of that. I remember actually in the regional 2 years ago, Boston College led the nation in shorthanded goals with that group they had, and I could see why. And it was like, holy cow, I don't know if I want another power play. This is dangerous. So Micah, I think, instills a little fear that way for sure because he's so fast. And if there's one turnover and he can win a race to a puck and on the power play, sometimes you're not in your traditional positions with 2D back in the point. You may be where a guy's rotating down the wall. One break, you pop it, and now you got almost a breakaway situation with a back checker. And Micah's pretty dangerous in that situation.
I was going to say, my broadcast colleague, Craig Karakas, your dear friend, his saying is if he's even, he's leaving. And Micah does not need to be even to be leaving.
No, he's not. He's one of the faster players in the league, 200 feet for sure.
Yep, for sure. Brett Larson, our guest, head coach at St. Cloud State. Jack Peart out of Grand Rapids as well, Mr. Hockey, Minnesota Wild draft pick. Had a really nice freshman season. How do you see him growing here in year two?
Well, these are the situations where you look at our team and you talk about the guys we lost. We're not going to replace them with freshmen. The freshmen are going to come in and do their job, hopefully. Nick Perbix needs to be replaced by Jack Peart. Jack is going to step up into that first power play role. He's a guy that we're going to count on in those situations. He went through he had a really good freshman year, but like most freshmen, went through some ups and downs that he learned from. And for us, we're pushing him and expecting him to kind of take the reins and be the go-to guy. And I don't think it's too much for him, even as a sophomore. I think he's got the ability and the mindset to go out there and be that counted go-to guy on the power play in important 5-on-5 situations and be a leader back there that way.
You know, he's a guy that it seems like, you know, it's kind of weird to think about it this way. Normally you go to the World Juniors, you come back, and you guys have to monitor the player when they get back to make sure that they're good because you played a lot of hockey in a short amount of time. You don't have to do that this time. Yeah, because it was 2 months ago.
Yeah,
you know, you've got him fresh as a daisy, but also I got to think a more confident player than he was before he went over there because he went over there and played well.
Yeah, he did, and I think that I can already see that's given him a boost, and it's just another step in his career. And these kids, it's all about climbing the ladder as far as their development. And things like that help him. He went there. He did well in the power play. He did well. He had a good tournament. That brings confidence in. Now, you know, he's probably, and we got to keep him thinking about, you know, the first half of the year because for some of these World Junior kids, they're going right back again. You know, so that's that is going to be a lot of hockey for those kids when this accumulates up. But I think that experience gave him just another boost of confidence and the ability to come in believing he can be the guy for us.
In goal, you lose Renick, obviously. It was great for 5 years for you guys. Won a lot of hockey games. Jackson Castor's back. He gave you what he had in those playoff games in a difficult spot, no question. And you bring in Dominic Bassi, a guy that the first time I saw him play was in the pod. He debuted against UMD. I think he didn't shut him out, but he came like a minute and something away from shutting him out. And it's like their third or fourth game in the pod in 4 days. And I remember he's a big kid, man. He's one of those guys that makes it difficult to get the puck through just by standing there. What have you seen from him so far?
I've liked him. I there's a high talent level there for sure to go along with that size as well. He's athletic for a big guy. Him and Jackson are pushing each other. Jackson will be the first to tell you that the year didn't end, obviously, the way he hoped. But I think just like any other athlete going through some adversities and finding a way to deal with it. And, you know, he hadn't been asked to do much throughout the year. He knew he was in that backup role where he knew he was going to get a game here or there. And he knew no matter how he played, he was getting pulled out the next game because David was going back in. So this year, I think Bassi coming in and looking like a very solid NCHC goalie is pushing Jackson a lot. And I kind of like that right now with those guys pushing. We also have a kid, freshman Jimmy Gray, he was the OJHL goalie of the year last year as a freshman. Coming in and pushing too. So for us, it's going to be interesting to see which one of those guys can kind of rise above that and become the guy.
UMV played three, I think, your last year there, the month of October, as an assistant coach. Are you willing to do that if you have to?
You have to, yeah. If you have to. I mean, it's there's an old saying in coaching. Coaches usually want to play the goalie that's going to help you win.
And I've heard that. Yeah.
And for me, I'm not looking at names on the back of the jerseys. We're evaluating those guys in practice, and we're going to play the guy that we think can help us win.
How do you go about that evaluation process? I remember talking to Andy Murray once, and Andy's like, well, I'm literally keeping stats. I'm marking, you know, their numbers and how they're handling pucks in practice. How do you go about that?
It's funny you say that. So part of it's the eye test for sure, right? A little bit of a gut feel. Part of it is we do the same thing in preseason. We have small area game tournaments throughout the course of the preseason where we actually track the goalies' records, and they know it. Players get points for winning and losing too. And it's not the same team every time. They all change, but you get points for winning and losing within the games. So you got the eye test, and then you got head-to-head competition. I'll tell those two goalies in there, hey, you're playing against each other. It's part of us figuring out who's going to play. And and then we post their records, and they know it. So there is created competition within practice where we want to evaluate just not just in drills, but in the guy that's going to find a way to win.
So 2 years ago, we're talking to St. Cloud State head man Brett Larson. 2 years ago, UMV plays a 5-overtime game in the NCAA tournament. They change to a 3-day regional. They change where you get your timeout back every overtime in a playoff game. Last year, UMV plays in an NCAA tournament game in Loveland. The guy gets hit from behind. They kick the Michigan Tech kid. Hobie Baker, finalist, out of the game. Changes the whole game 3 minutes in. UMD goes on to win. They change the rule now. It's not an automatic ejection for a five-minute major penalty. So what rule would you like to see changed that UMD needs to get involved in this make this 3 years in a row?
Well, I hate that it's UMD involved in it. Not hate. Okay, UMD was involved in that call, but I think that's something that was unanimous from the coaching body that needed to be changed. And for the most part, I think hockey's cleaner than it's ever been. You're seeing less head contact plays. You're seeing less hit from behind. But we all want that situation where the player turns at the last second, or the player dives and gets his head low and the other player can't avoid contact. I know there's a lot of judgment in that within the referees, but those are the situations that I think the referees and the coaches for the first time ever all agree shouldn't be a kid being kicked out of the game. Where it's that type of thing, that last-minute turn and whatnot. So I think the addition of having just a five-minute major is a good rule change.
By the way, anybody listen to that game knows I feel the same way you do. I felt terrible that the kid got kicked out of the game at that point, but there was
they couldn't do anything about it.
There's no leeway.
But that's the thing. Yeah. I mean, let's face it. You needed to make that rule change because there has to be some leeway.
So this league, I spent 3 days, I'm not kidding you, different times over 3 days trying to figure out how I'm going to vote this 1-8.
Good luck.
I'm sure I'm wrong, but I had Denver 6 last year. I mean, come on. I mean, nobody should read what I put and think it's going to be right. But in all seriousness, the bottom feels like it's just continuing to come up, which is only going to make things, because it's not like the top's coming down at all.
No.
This league's just getting harder and harder every year.
It just keeps getting better.
Yeah.
So I feel for you, because I could. There's no way I could rank the teams 1 through 8. There's no way. I think in our league, we all know it. If you don't show up and bring your best, you're getting beat, right? And when you do show up and bring your best, you still might get beat. And it's just the nature of our league. If you look at our league, you know, the top 4 to 5 teams are NCAA tournament teams every single year. And the bottom three aren't far off from that. And it's I don't know, I think from a recruiting standpoint, it's what we sell. We sell to kids that no matter where you are in that league, if you want to play against the best night in and night out and challenge yourself and be in the best league in college hockey, you're going to come to the NCHC.
And finally, I know that we won't see it till March. You've seen it by now. The acoustics aren't perfect, I know, but how's that new video board?
They're fixing the acoustics, too. So,
good.
So that's going to be a big piece for us. The video boards are awesome. The fact that people can hear what the announcer's saying now, I think they're going to enjoy that as well.
It helps.
And they've really pumped up the sound. It's great. I you know, that arena can get really loud already, and I'm looking forward now to see how it is with that in there.
Renovations at the Herb Brooks National Hockey Center in St. Cloud. St. Cloud State Head Coach Brett Larson. 10:52. Yikes. Going to wrap things up in a moment. It's a Friday morning. Bruce Siski Show, 610, 103.9 KDAL.
This is the Golden Gopher Daily Update. I'm Mike Graham. We'll talk Minnesota football after this.
It's time to fight the flu. And when you come to us, you can count on us. Convenience, care, and a warm smile. Friendly pharmacists you can trust. Expert advice you can rely on. And personalized services, from free flu shots to vaccinations to strep, flu, and COVID testing. We take the time to really get to know our customers, because your health matters to us, and we'll always put you first so you can put them first. Visit your local club pharmacy for your free flu shot today.
Golden Gophers senior offensive lineman Nathan Bowe of Lakeville says the team's excited about its 3-0 start, and they've all been on the same page all year up front.
We're having a lot of fun. You know, I think we have a really close O-line group again this year. We've kind of kept that a tradition ever since I've been here. We've been one of the, you know, closer kind of position groups on the team, and, you know, it's just a great group of guys. You know, we're all friends, and no one really worries about playing time at all. We just worry about winning, and, you know, as Coach Fleck keeps saying, just, you know, keep executing the game plan better this week than we did last week, and we really have been sticking to that.
Yeah, you mentioned that in terms of just everyone kind of pulling for each other. And, you know, in the offseason, you have the Michigan transfer, Chuck Filianga, and then the Notre Dame transfer, Quinn Carroll, get added to the group. How did those guys fit in? And they're obviously contributing now.
Oh, they fit in like a glove right away. You know, they blended really well with the team right away. And I think we all understood that, you know, it takes everyone to win. And football, you can't be selfish at all. And it takes everyone. And you never know when your name's going to be called. And so we've had a great time. I've had a great time getting to know Quinn and Chuck. You know, both of them are great people, tremendous men. And, you know, we've had a lot of fun times just having stereotypical O-line grill outs, just hanging out, you know, grilling whatever in someone's backyard and just having a good time. So I think a lot of that stuff helps, you know, build the chemistry you see on the field.
The Gophers are at number 21 Michigan State tomorrow afternoon. That's the Golden Gopher Daily Update. I'm Mike Graham.
Listen on your Echo device.
Just say something like this.
Alexa, play KDAL Radio.
Wrap things up on this Friday morning. We are back at it on Monday off the weekend. Jeff Papis with Bulldog Football. We'll recap Saturday, tomorrow's game in Sioux Falls. 1 o'clock here on KDAL. Also on Monday, we'll go back to our conversations from NCHC Media Day, as we'll hear on Monday morning from the head coach at Miami, Chris Bergeron. Brad Bennett, sound off is next. Everyone have a great weekend, all right?
Ladies and gentlemen, the weekend.
This has been the Bruce Siski Show. Hit us up on Twitter at Bruce Siski Show and let us know what you think.
No, yes, no. Well, no, I crossed my mind.
Visit KDAL610.com to podcast today's show anytime.
What'd you say?
Listen to shows on demand and download for free. You can also subscribe via Spotify or your favorite podcast app. This has been the Bruce Siski Show. CBS News is up next. For more than 80 years, KDAL 103.9, W28 FBFM, and 610 KDAL Duluth Superior, a Midwest communication station. KDAL.